The healthcare sector has lost more than half a million jobs since the start of the pandemic. The most recent data from the Labor Department pointing to the biggest losses coming in nursing, residential care facilities, and hospitals. And Moody's is out with a new report taking a look at the impact this is likely to have on the makeup of the workforce in the sector. Let's bring in Lisa Goldstein, Moody's Associate Managing Director. We've also got Yahoo Finance's Anjali Kamlani joining in on the conversation. Lisa, it's great to talk to you today. You know, I think a lot of people are surprised when they hear these headlines saying, well, look, this is at the height of the pandemic. The demand should be there for hospitals. Why are we seeing so many losses in jobs? What are hospitals now doing to try and make up for the shortage?
Great question, Akiko. Thanks for having me today. Yes, indeed. One would think with COVID, Delta surges happening, and individuals, patients returning to the hospital for care, there'd be no problem finding labor. But even since before COVID and now, we are in the midst of a very pronounced national labor shortage across the country, especially for nurses, but I'll talk more later. It extends to all type of workers. So as a result, many hospitals are turning to temporary labor or what's called traveler nurses, very expensive. And we do expect this will curb margins for the remainder of 2021 for most not-for-profit hospitals and continuing into 2022. So it is a real problem financially that will lead to lower margins over the near term.
Lisa, I know that there's been a lot of coverage for this and a lot of discussion about why the reasons behind it, some of it coming from complaints about workplace safety, as well as the resources that are available, generally speaking, to them. But I want to just move a little bit out of that to what the spillover effect is for businesses. How is this going to affect, say, insurance premiums, et cetera, for the coming year?
Well, it will undoubtedly lead to higher costs for everyone seeking health care. So we may see a rise in premiums, a rise in our hospital health care bills. But what's very different from this nursing shortage, say pre-COVID, and we've seen nursing shortages over the decades. This is not new, but there was a nursing shortage actually heading into the pandemic. What's new this go-round is two factors. One is part of the nursing shortage is due to burnout. So we've had resignations of nurses. They're at the end of the career. It's time to resign. Now we're seeing a different driver, and that driver is burnout given the intensity of the shutdown last March through April, May, et cetera. So it's become a very different, intense workplace for nurses. So burnout has now entered into the lexicon. The other issue that makes it very different from the past is that not only is it nurses leaving the field, but it's other healthcare workers as well, non-clinical healthcare workers. So think housekeeping, dietary, environmental services, security. There's even a run on cyber individuals, cyber expertise, cyber skilled individuals. So the labor shortage is much broader and much deeper now than in the past. And we've seen, according to our data, salaries and bennies represents at least half of any not-for-profit hospital's expense base. So we expect that's going to continue to grow, and it may grow faster than other expenses like pharma or supplies or debt-related expenses. So it's a very different go-round right now than other nursing shortages or labor shortages we've seen.
Yeah, and Lisa, I mean, when you add all that up, obviously, as you said, we were dealing with a nurse shortage, labor shortage there in hospitals for a while. But if you add on top of that burnout from COVID-19 and think about the pipeline for new labor coming in, you know, I have a lot of nurses, friends who are nurses here, look at it and just say, I'm not sure if that's the career I would advise maybe my mentees or people I know, younger people to go into. So how does that maybe build on it moving forward?
Right. Well, there is some recent data that nursing school enrollment, at least going into 2020, was increasing. So this is a call to arms, a call to action for new people just starting their career. But it will be a pressure point forward, and hospitals, not-for-profit hospitals, will have to throw a lot of resources to not only recruit and be competitive in their salaries, but as we talked about, they've also got financial strategies to retain the workforce. to keep nurses there, to keep employees there. And that's going to lead to wage inflation as competitive salaries, you know, are all over in other sectors. So, for example, a hospital may need to hire people for their dietary food services, but so is the fast food industry. So all of a sudden you have different sectors providing competition for the workforce. That's a very different feel and point that we're in than ever before.
Lisa, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I wanted to draw comparisons to what we're seeing sort of in the restaurant industry as well. It seems like there is a lot of concern about wages as well as the resources and just how businesses are functioning through the pandemic. I wonder, you know, with this conversation about the pipeline building up and sort of the exacerbation of what was happening pre-pandemic, we've also seen a lot of push into alternate healthcare services such as telehealth. And it seems like there's a lot more interest to build up the forces there. Are we going to see some of that loss, you know, through the buildings and in-person healthcare services trickle into sort of the telehealth or digital health form?
It will, to a lesser extent. We saw during the pandemic a rush to digital healthcare. It exploded, you know, exponentially. But that's starting, our data show it's starting to tamp down. But you bring up an excellent point. If nurses are leaving the hospital setting, it's too intense, it's too risky, but they want to stay in healthcare, they could easily perhaps go to the outpatient setting, ambulatory, clinic. Many are leaving, we hear, to become a traveler nurse. So leaving their home base to go elsewhere in the country, it can be very lucrative. So there's a great shifting of the clinical care to all different types of healthcare settings. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now. You know, you brought up the restaurant industry. Here's an important point about healthcare. Costs may rise, and undoubtedly they will, but in not-for-profit healthcare, where over half of their revenue base is Medicare or Medicaid, and the rates are set, there's no negotiating, there's very limited flexibility, unlike, say, the restaurant business. Costs go up, you raise the price of everything on the menu. Hospitals, it's not so easy to do. There's very limited pricing flexibility. So not-for-profits will have to absorb the higher costs from the labor shortage and getting us back to where we started, resulting in curbed or limited margins over the near term. There's no doubt about it.
Lisa, bottom line, what does this mean for patients at hospitals? Are we seeing some of the procedures, the elective procedures, being delayed as a result of the shortage?
We're seeing it in a few spots around the country. Some of the overnight electives are being suspended. This is not mandated by any government. Hospitals are choosing to do this when they look at their staffing, they look at their resources. It may be a suspension for a few days or a week or so. But hospitals are quite adept at managing through this. They're quite used to various financial shocks happening over the years. This is a health crisis like no other that we've ever seen before, but they're quite adept at responding and moving through it.
Lisa Goldstein, Moody's Associate Managing Director. Great insight. Good to have you on the show today. And our thanks to Anjali Kamlani as well for joining in on the conversation.